This is Jane McGonigal, the author of Super Better and a big fan of the Psych Tech Podcast. You're listening to Psych Tech Podcast, where you will get the future of psychology and technology.
Welcome to Psych Tech, the Psychology and Technology Podcast. I am Josue Cardona with Kelly Dunlap here for some Black Mirror. You ready, Kelly?
No, I'm never ready for Black Mirror. Never.
Ooh, let me tell you, I actually haven't watched any episodes past Shut Up and Dance, the third episode of the third season, which is what we're going to talk about now, just because, like, I need to see it. I need to have this conversation with you to kind of decompress and then I can go on to the next episode. So I actually haven't finished the season yet.
I haven't either. I've listened to the fourth or listened to I've I have watched the fourth episode of the season of Black Mirror. San Junipero is what it's called. But that's where I stopped for a very similar reason.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't watched it yet. No spoilers.
No,
we're
no
gonna
spoilers.
Spoil this one now. I saw this really good. I looked it up on Google and it had a very simple description for the episode, which was when a teenager falls into an online trap, he is forced into an uneasy alliance.
That is a very rosy way of painting this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you got some thoughts. I have some thoughts. Let me know if you agree.
Okay.
This episode made me feel the most uncomfortable since White Bear.
I don't know if I can agree with that.
Okay.
I have a very interesting relationship with this episode from personal reasons as well as I promise I will explain. But I guess first off, it's worth noting that I watched this with my husband and we had two incredibly different experiences of this episode. And I kind of wished I should have pulled out my phone and just recorded what we were talking about because it was so interesting. So I'm going to do my best to bring that to the table. So as Josue mentioned, we are spoiling the episode. So if you have not watched episode 3, Shut Up and Dance of Black Mirror season 3, you're going to want to pause, go watch it, and then come right on back. And then the last warning is, if you've seen the episode, you know that it becomes graphic, especially around issues dealing with sexuality. So if that is a sensitive topic area for you, you also might want to skip the conversation that we're having today. So just want to be totally out there and clear for everybody and make sure everybody's feeling safe.
Thank you for that. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. This one made me feel uncomfortable for various reasons. But go ahead, start us off. What was that immediate conversation that you and your husband had?
So let me ask you what your thoughts on it first, and then I can either play myself or John. So when it came to Kenny, who is the main character, the protagonist, the young man, Kelly thought that it was very clear that he was looking at child pornography from pretty early on in the episode, and the twist at the end didn't seem that much of a twist to me. Whereas my husband watched it, and we had this big debate about whether the main character, Kenny, was actually a pedophile or not, because John didn't see it that way at all. So before we even get into it, where do you stand on that?
Oh, so I guess I'm halfway between the both of you, because I didn't think for one second that he was looking at child pornography until it's revealed at the end that he was. And then I did a complete 180 and realized that he is a pedophile. But I just didn't realize it until the end, and I do believe that he was. Yeah, so I believe 100% that he is a pedophile. He was looking at he was looking at child pornography. He liked it and he knows it was wrong. And that's why he was freaking out earlier and throughout the episode about why he doesn't want people to find out. But I didn't think that again until the very end.
Okay.
No. So I am like right between the two of you. Like it's not,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're like,
huh, that's interesting.
On the middle cushion of the couch while we're snuggling. It's great.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, John.
So, I mean, I guess just to kind of, I guess take a step back, because that is kind of the big reveal at the end. But I think it's really a driving force for setting up the rest of the conversation about this episode, in that this idea that someone could blackmail you into doing something is really interesting. It's definitely not a new phenomenon. Blackmail has been around for a very, very long time. Extortion, all that fun stuff. And you know, the fact that it was targeting a child is not actually unusual at all, unfortunately. And I think for me, the creepiest part was when the hackers hacked Kenny's computer and used the webcam. And when that happened, I thought about all the conversations you and I have had about covering up the cameras on our computers and, you know, how I have the Kinect just staring at me in the living room at all times.
And yeah, and you, I believe, I don't want to misquote you here, but I'm pretty sure you've said, like, I just don't care.
Yeah, I'm still kind of at that point.
Yeah. While me, I disconnect every camera. I tape over every camera on a computer and on every laptop, every computer. And I've even started like turning off the Amazon Echo and Google Home type of thing, because those things are always listening and they don't need to be listening all the time. So I am. So as you can imagine, if that's my behavior, that's my go-to, this episode freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because that's like a nightmare scenario, right? I don't even want people, like, just the idea of even somebody seeing me picking my nose, you know, like, they could mm-hmm. blackmail me for that. Like, I'd be like, no, I don't want people seeing that, like, let alone anything else or hearing anything else. So the idea that it could be that could happen is, I mean, of course, that's why, like, you cover, I cover every camera. So again, that's like, I thought it was great that, like, Black Mirror was showing this real fear that a lot of people have. And kind of the what I loved about this episode was that it really took that fear and ran with it, again, to its extreme, just like Black Mirror does. But the flip at the end, which again for me was a shocking ending, a shocking reveal at the end, kind of really, really made the episode special. But I'm curious why you thought that from the beginning. Like, how did you know, or how did you guess?
Well, I won't say from the beginning, but I would say definitely before they tipped their hand. I'd okay. like to say it's my finely honed clinical senses, like picking up on small things like that. But I definitely think the interaction he had with the little girl at the restaurant, there was just something about that interaction that made me uncomfortable. Hmm. And I can't tell you what. There's not really words to describe. It just kind of almost the hairs in the back of my neck kind of feeling. So that was something that was in the back of my mind the entire time. And then further down the line, when he started doing things that were obviously so uncomfortable for him, like when he robbed the bank, you know, he urinated on himself to go rob that bank. I was thinking, you know, maybe there's got to be something more here. There's got to be something that's, you know, just really driving. But that's something that I'm going to get to in a little bit deeper later from John's perspective, which is also very interesting. And then what really sealed the deal for me was when it came down to the fight at the end with the drone kind of watching both Kenny and the other gentleman fight to the death. And the other guy said, you know, how young were they? I was like, oh, yep, okay, all right.
Yeah, but that was confirmation bias for you, because for me that was like, oh man, like, he's just assuming that he's there for the same exact reason, but we're not supposed to know that yet. Reveal isn't there for us, you know, because Kenny's like, no.
That's what John said too. He's like, oh no, because I brought up, I smacked him, like, oh my gosh, I think Kenny's a pedophile too. And he's like, no, he's just saying it because, you know, if he's there, that's obviously what the other person has to be too. Like, oh,
exactly.
Okay, yeah. Sure. But then, of course, it comes out, you know, he gets the phone call from his mom saying, child porn, how could you? And all the other fun stuff that went around with that as well. So yeah, it wasn't a shock for me, but I find it a really interesting story decision because let me tell you a little bit about how John perceived it, is that he didn't see Kenny as a pedophile even after the quote unquote reveal. Like, I had to go through and pull an AV Club article and go, look, they agree with me. This is what it is. And then he made this really great, compelling argument about how the episode would be stronger and better if Kenny wasn't a pedophile. And he rationalizes that because the kind of the Black Mirror message is that trolls are going to troll. Justice doesn't matter to them. They're doing it for the lulz. So the idea that you are punishing somebody who, quote unquote, deserves it, that almost makes the troll seem like the law, like justice. Like, yes, they are serving justice to these horrible, awful people, which I don't think is the message that they wanted to convey. Especially as the different crimes that we see along the way, it seems like the worse the crime, the worse the quote-unquote punishment that the person received. So if Kenny hadn't been a pedophile, the idea that he ended up with this really awful predicament, this really awful punishment, bolsters the idea that the trolls are just doing it for the lulz, and they really don't care about the crime. They just care about extorting people and doing it for fun.
So I don't agree that the episode would have been better that way. I think just there is no stereotypical, there is no archetype of a hacker. You know, there are people who do things, right, who can do exploits, who can, you know, we're the Mooney in San Francisco that just got hacked, right? That's the subway system over there, the train system. You know, was that just for the lulz, or was there a message behind it? Was it, you know, Mr. Robot is a show that's all about this group of hackers who are doing it with a social, like they have a social mission for why they are doing that. And there's different versions of it. You know, like on South Park right now, you have the trolls who are really just doing it for the laughs, you know, and that message is repeated over and over again. It's like, but I did it because it's funny, you know? So the one, I think we agree that the whoever it is that trolled all these people was doing it as a punishment, like you said, right? I don't think there's any debate there.
Well, I think it's important to identify the difference between a troll and a hacker. Like, they don't necessarily have to be the same thing. We call the bad guys, quote unquote, in this episode the trolls because they use the troll face to kind of go lol when they, you know, snap back on the people that they've been puppeteering. So, I mean, yes, they are somewhat hackery, but I mean, for example, the group Anonymous, who are hackers, I don't think I guess what I'm saying is they don't have to be one and the same. Like, you can be a hacker and not be a troll, and you can be a troll and not a hacker, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yep. And in this case, they obviously used an exploit and hacked his computer,
yes,
hacked his camera, recorded it, and then used that to blackmail him, also known as trolling in 2016.
And that's, right? That's the other interesting part is if Kenny wasn't a pedophile, I think it has a really strong and interesting case for the psyche of a teenager. You know, when you're at that stage of development, it literally does feel like the world could end. And it's not hyperbole. It is the very visceral feeling that teens have. That's their developmental milestone at that point. So I think it is totally believable that a teenage boy would go to such extreme lengths, even if he was just looking at regular porn, which I think most people would probably agree is a gross but normal part of adolescent development.
Well, the problem wasn't that he was looking at porn. The problem was that they caught him masturbating. Like, that's the embarrassing part, right?
But, I mean,
the whole time I'm thinking, you don't want that to get out, right?
But teenagers do that. Like, I won't even be gendered. Teenagers do that. And so the idea that you got caught doing something that is embarrassing but totally normal for your age, and then you go to these lengths, I thought that was a really powerful commentary on the catastrophizing kind of mentality that teens have when it comes to their social interactions and the importance of friendships and relationships outside of their family.
And how easily it can be propagated over social media, right?
So, yes.
And that's what makes it so scary, because since he is that young, like if he was older, right? Again, like you see Bronn from Game of Thrones, right? Having his moment where he doesn't want things to get out because it'll affect his family, right? The consequences are very different if any of this information gets out. But, you know, we assume that it's just a kid who's going to be – who's actually – seems kind of shy and would be very embarrassed and is not handling well at all. Right? He is freaking out. And then when you see him in another, like he did pee himself when he went to the bank, right? That's a scary mm-hmm. thing. Like he does not handle fear well. I don't know how most people would handle a situation like that, you know, any better than he did, but he's freaking out about something that people his age, you know, and I mean, we're older, but I mean, I'd still freak out if someone had any kind of thing that I found was embarrassing. I don't know if I'd go that far to cover up like bad karaoke, but I would like to have the conversation. Like, what exactly do you want? Right? I mean, there are certain things that you just don't want out there, right? And again, like that point that he is so young is very important. And that's why for me, the whole episode, like whether or not the mission, the statement, the comment, or whatever, the ride that I went on was that I'm seeing this kid, this young kid, scared. Like he is terrified, right? For having done something that is absolutely normal that he's going to keep doing for the rest of his life, most of the time in front of a computer. Yeah, it's the truth, right? It's not just something that's normal for teenagers. It's something normal for anybody. Seeing him that scared, like again, petrified. And I felt bad for him, you know? At every stage, I felt so bad for him. And I felt so bad for him. And then at the end, when his mom says that comment, right, that reveals that he was looking at child pornography, then I completely went from, I feel so bad for this kid. I can't believe he went through all this. I can't believe he had to kill that guy. Oh, man, this is such a good commentary on, like, the lengths that one would go to not be embarrassed nowadays because of the way the internet works. And then all of that just went away in an instant. And then suddenly you hate him like you hated the hacker/trolls before. That's again, you may have seen things before, but I didn't buy into that until the reveal. So I went on this full-blown, like, it was like a horror film. And then at the end, they switched it on me. And the guy who I felt bad for, I suddenly felt disgusted by. And by the lengths to which he went to cover up his disgust, which now included, like, I was okay with him killing the guy because he was a kid who was really scared of being embarrassed. But once it was to cover up that he, you know, that he likes to jerk off to child pornography, then I'm just disgusted. And that roller coaster, that whole thing is why this episode is amazing and Black Mirror is amazing.
Well, I think that experience is so fascinating to me because that entire experience you had with him of this poor kid, you know, even if he was a pedophile, which I think at this point is what the directors wanted to come across, even that kid still went on that journey. He was still just as scared. He was still just as petrified. He still wet his pants. Like, this is a human being experiencing these really human emotions. And then just knowing, like, how people's perception of something can just turn on a dime. Like you said, 180 degrees was just one more piece of information.
And very quickly. Again, and yeah. It was like a subtle comment where you have maybe one moment where you're thinking, wait a minute, did I just get out of here? No, no, Kenny, you asshole, right? It's like, no, yeah, no. So, and then like, I was rooting for you. How could you? Oh, like this betrayal.
I, of course, have in no way defending sexual predators or pedophiles or anything like that. But it is very interesting to me to see how fast somebody can turn from the underdog that you're rooting for to someone that you're disgusted by with just one little twist. And I feel like that's so reflective of our current criminal justice system. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, of a kind of a personal relationship with this topic, before I got into grad school, I did a practicum at a sex offender clinic. And so I actually worked with people who had been charged and committed for rape, for incest, for child pornography, child molestation, like all the paraphilias you can think of. And I know that one of the really challenging things for me at that point as a clinician was to find empathy for someone like that. And it's not something that a lot of people can do. And now that I have a small one of my own, I think it would be a lot more challenging for me to be in that position to try and find empathy. But remembering that these are human beings, in no way are their actions appropriate or good. It's terrible and it's awful. And the impact it has on the victims is horrific. And in no way would I condone any of it. At the same time, I also believe in the idea that no one should be forced to suffer. So, you know, what Kenny went through was suffering. Like, it was traumatic and it was suffering. And I thought that was really, really terrible. So, you know, when my thought about him being the pedophile was confirmed, I was, you know, I didn't really have much of a change of heart, I guess. But yeah, like, keeping in your mind that he's still a human being and he should not have had to go through what he went through, even though he did what he did.
So on the definition or classification of pedophilia, right? He was watching child pornography. That doesn't mean that he was going around molesting children or trying to interact with children in a creepy way, or that he ever would necessarily.
That's a good clarification. There's also that little girl at the start of the episode.
Maybe. I mean, for you, it was super creepy. I'd have to go back. I've only watched the episode once, but having a, that doesn't, like, he didn't kidnap her.
No, like, but the way he touched her hand, the way he made eye contact, again, it creeped me out from the beginning. So I might not be the best. I might not be the best person to ask.
And he could also be a creep, but not necessarily,
of course,
commit a crime. Right. Just like there's tons of crazy porn out there that people like, and there are things that they would never do in real life.
And I think that's a really important topic to touch on, too, is that all of the people who were victims of these trolls, all of them except for one, had a sex-related thing that they were trying to cover up. So obviously with Kenny, it was looking at child pornography and being caught masturbating to it. For Hector, who was his, you know, his crime duo, Bronn from Game of Thrones, he had solicited a prostitute and didn't want his wife to find out. And then there was the drone guy, the one that Kenny ended up killing, who was there for...
That was child pornography.
Yep, that was there for child pornography. And not clear whether he actually engaged in sexual acts with children or just watched or... I mean, yep. I don't think it really matters, but, you know, he's dead. And I was even reading on Reddit, the guy on the scooter, you remember near the beginning of the episode, that... It was kind of unclear what he did, but what seems to be the consensus is that he was in the closet and not ready to come out. And so, again, it's something having to do with sex and sexuality. And I think one of the most interesting things to me is that the only woman victim is also the one who did not have a sexual offense that she was trying to hide. Hers was a racist or bigoted comment that she was trying to keep on the down low. And as I always believe with Black Mirror, nothing's on accident. So I'm also curious on your thoughts about, okay, if all the guys are hiding the shame that's sexually related, even if it's morally reprehensible, you know, it all tends to be sexually related. And the only woman who's a victim has to do with a racist or bigoted comment. I feel like there's something there, but I can't quite put my finger on it.
Okay, so here's my thoughts.
Okay.
These trolls with hacking abilities are your person on the internet that reacts to anything and everything, right? So imagine this is the real life application of a negative comment online, right? Where you are practically indiscriminately in caps lock yelling at people for the smallest things and the biggest things, whatever it is, because that's just the type of person you are online. The type of, like, that's not a bad description of trolling behavior, right? And so what if you took like the way you act online and push that into the real world with your powers to do that? I think that's what this might look like, where you're kind of like, yep, I don't like that, and I disagree with that, and I disagree with that, so I'm going to make you all suffer. And I'm not really going to think about what the effects will be long term, whatever. Like, because the fact that the guy, the drone guy at the fight, if he was doing something worse than just watching child pornography, right? The way Kenny was, what if he was actually recording or taking part in it or mm-hmm. distributing it or something like that? Then you kind of, as the troll, you put them both at the same level. It's like, meh, one of you can die, one of you can go to jail. It doesn't really matter, you know? And like the fact that Kenny killed the other guy is surprising because he was like half the other guy's size. So I mean, what were they really trying to do other than actually trolling and trying to like rile people up? Again, there may be that like one version of it may be they are, you know, they're out for justice. They are vigilantes. They are taking care of things. But obviously, once you described, you know, what the different people, and we don't see that until the end, right? We don't see what everybody else was in for until after we find out what Kenny's situation was. So once you see that, again, it kind of flips everything on its head from these guys who are really, you know, horrible to these guys that are like heroes to these guys that are like, wait a minute, they really are just trolls. Like yeah. an online troll.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they are definitely the villain of the story, if you ask me. Although, I mean, again, really interesting threads on Reddit about it, and a lot of interesting back and forth about who the real quote unquote bad guy is in this situation. Although I kind of feel in Black Mirror, everybody's kind of a bad guy, so it's probably just par for the course for them.
There are no easy answers with Black Mirror.
No,
ever.
And I think another really unsettling thing about this episode is that I feel like it's totally plausible to happen right now, and that it does happen right now. And in fact, we found an article just a couple days ago that was talking about an increase in, I think the catchy word for it is sextortion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the idea of using specifically webcams to record people doing sexual acts and then extorting them, saying, do this for me, otherwise I will release this incriminating evidence into the world, onto the web.
Yep. And the way that it described it happening in that article was you interact with someone and then ask them to commit a sexual act on camera and you record them without their knowledge. And then you come back and blackmail them. It's yeah. not like just like watching them without their permission.
Yeah. So it's, I guess, a little less insidious, or maybe more, depending on how you want to think
Way
about it.
Way more insidious.
Well, I mean, one is hacking and one is emotionally exploiting somebody. I'm not, again, yeah, I'm not saying which one is worse.
I am. I'm voting.
Okay. There you go. You vote then. So, and this article that we're talking about was an Ars Technica piece that we'll link to. And apparently in 2016, there's been 864 cases of what they call, quote, financially motivated webcam blackmail in 2016.
And that's in the UK, though,
that's
right?
Only in the UK, and that's yeah. only for 2016 up until last month. Whereas in 2015, there were less than 400 cases. So it's more than doubled in not even a full year. So I think, you know, as Black Mirror tends to kind of project an extreme future, or a not so distant future in this case, I think reality in this case is actually kind of playing right along with it in a very eerie, uncomfortable way.
Oh, this is just like how the article about MIT's nightmare machine came out right after the third season was published. It's like all this stuff is coming true. You know? Oh.
Oh,
Black
goodness.
It's prophetic.
Well, if it is, then I'm going to hope that my future is tied in with San Junipero, which is the next episode, but I won't go any more into that.
And we'll discuss that one.
Yeah, we'll discuss that one. Discuss that one later once Josue is caught up. But yeah, I mean, again, Black Mirror, you got to take your time, really, really process it and decide what's going on there. So yeah, I mean, it's a real issue. And again, I want to emphasize this is not the result of technology. Like, this kind of extortion and blackmail has been happening for ever. Pretty much as long as human beings have been alive, there you've been able to, you know, blackmail somebody with something. You know, you take something that's important to them that if other people knew about, they would be shamed. And then you force them into uncomfortable positions. And I do want to say that's one thing I thought the episode did really, really well was the behavioral curve that Kenny went on. Because I feel if they had gone from, hey, we have this footage of you, and the next thing he had to do was go kill a guy, I don't think he would have done it. But it's kind of like that idea of nudging. You know, you get them to do one thing, and then the next, and then the next, and you slowly build up. It's almost like in a game where you are constantly put at the edge of your ability, and so over time you get better and better and better in a game. But for Kenny, he just got more and more removed from the person that he was. And I think that's a really powerful message for human beings in general, I don't know if there is, I'm sure there is a psychological term for it, but the only one I can think of is the economic one of the sunk cost fallacy. Basically, I've come this far, I have to keep going.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about like kind of building up a tolerance, right, to these new behaviors, right? So like you said, like this, the first thing isn't, it's just weird. It's kind of uncomfortable. And then you went into slightly more uncomfortable space and then more uncomfortable space to the point where you killed a guy. Right. And so, there's two, you know, like patterns playing out at the same time. Right. And again, like putting myself back in that moment, like while I'm watching it, I did feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for Kenny now. Oh man, but yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was an amazing episode. It's just so weird to hear that your experience watching it was so different from mine. Because like again, like for me, it was just that shock at the end that just made the ride worth it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They say that spoilers make things better, but I don't. I'm still not 100% on board.
Yeah. I'm not either. But yeah, it in typical Black Mirror fashion, it is pushing us to an uncomfortable place. So I don't think it's one of my favorites, but I do think that it delivers. And if people are able to kind of take stock of how they perceived Kenny and how in an instant that perception changed from sympathetic to unsympathetic would probably be too soft of a term. I think that's a really important message to try and process and internalize that is how quickly, how easily we can turn on someone, how quickly we can go from feeling sorry for a human being to seeing them as something less than. And again, obviously, if, you know, as watching child pornography is completely not okay in any sense. It's so hard because it dehumanizes him in a way that makes me really uncomfortable and is kind of evocative of White Bear, where it's
absolutely, yeah,
dehumanizing of a person for a crime they committed. And although I think White Bear did a better job at driving home kind of that reflective piece of, you know, how we treat the worst of us speaks about how we treat what we are as human beings, our own moral fabric. So like the idea of in White Bear, which is, you know, everybody's in on it. Even the government sanctions this kind of torture on this woman. Whereas at least in Shut Up and Dance, it's not the government sanctioning it. It's just a bunch of sad trolls who have nothing better to do with their time.
Yeah, I mean, the trolls could have just sent that to the police.
Yeah,
and taking care of it and let justice play out, right? But it's they decided we're going to punish them a little bit first. And if he actually gets through all this, then we're going to call the cops on him anyway for everything that he did. Like that's like the more we look at it, I think the more trolly it seems, right? Because now they've got him on murder, on robbery, on like the child pornography is the least of his problems. Really? Like they may even not like do anything about that because all the other stuff is enough for, I mean, again, I don't know. I forgot what, I'm pretty sure it's in the UK, right? Because we're driving on the opposite side, right? Than yeah. us here. So I don't know like what that would be over there, but here that would be at least one life sentence, right? Probably for murder or something. Maybe, I don't know. You know, that's a long time. That's a lot of punishment to get them to that point. And yeah, like for White Bear, it was that same roller coaster of where you feel for this person so badly, and then once you realize that you had it all wrong, you know, like the feelings that you had based on the information that you had at the time was, you know, you were seeing it. It's like a completely different story because you were lacking information. You had all of these feelings that were not the feelings you would have had if you had all the information.
And that's why I guess maybe I have such a hard time with it, because during White Bear, I was actually more mortified when I realized what was happening, than as opposed to feeling less empathy for that woman. I felt more. And again, I will fully own, as I said, I worked in a sex offender clinic for about 3 years. I worked in forensic psychology in one way or the other, you know, pre-trial, working with people who've been arrested, pre-released, people who have served their time and are about to be released back into the world, and pretty much everything in between. So I feel like I'm pretty certain I have a very different concept, or at least perception, of what people who are incarcerated, people who have committed crimes, than a lot of other people. Although I could be totally wrong on that. It's not normally a conversation that comes up. You know, what's your empathy for people who have committed violent offenses? So yeah, it's just a very different experience. And again, with the three of us, between you, myself, and my husband, we experienced it three incredibly different ways. And I'm kind of curious if you've heard from anybody else and what their experience was like.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. But so I would love to.
Yeah. So our listeners, let us know if you what you thought about that. Because I'm genuinely curious. You know, I have three anecdotes and neither of them match up. So I'm really curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Please write in. If you can, like, if you know, the one anecdote that I do get, or the one comment that I do get from people that I know is, yeah, I watched that first episode of that show you told me about, and I don't want to watch any more.
Oh, the one with the prime, like the first episode of the first season?
Yeah, yeah. Well, just like people, like I know people who are so turned off, like felt so uncomfortable by just the first episode or whichever episode I suggested, that they don't want to see any more of it. It's the only thing I get.
But that's the point. Like that's the
point. I may have to rethink some of my friendships. I know.
And I say that because it's the discomfort that lets us know that there's something worth analyzing. Like, why is it that we're so uncomfortable in this situation? I mean, part of it, I mean, on one end, obviously, you know, any kind of thing related to the harming of a child is repulsive. But that's not discomfort. That's, you know, being repulsed by something. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that the discomfort for me comes from, you know, here's these horrible trolls, and they're almost painted as like the arm of the law, you know, justice, going after people who deserve it. That kind of vigilante type of mentality that I find really, really disturbing. That that you can take somebody's life in your hand and destroy it. And I know in therapy training, that's something that is always driven home, is that people are entrusting you literally with their lives. So that's a huge responsibility, and you have to be really careful with it. And the other thing worth noting is there's a lot of research on the personality constructs of people who engage in trolling behaviors. And the number one characteristic that they all have in common is unusually high levels of sadism. So, of course, sadism is when you get pleasure out of giving pain to others. And I, without a doubt, the trolls in this episode are completely sadistic in what they do.
Yeah, definitely check out the latest season of South Park for a parallel to what was displayed in this episode. Oh, man. Yeah, again, this is so much to think about. So please write in and let us know. And you can do that by visiting us at psychtechpodcast.com or at psychtechcast on Twitter. If you just want to, you know, shout out to just one of us. I'm Josue A. Cardona on Twitter. Kelly is Kelly N. Dunlap on Twitter. And yeah, reach out. I mean, the most fun thing about Black Mirror is talking about Black Mirror.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So let's do that. All right. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye, everybody. I totally waved at my computer screen.
All right.